Good morning, 7:37 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News, and joining us now we have Mike Wood. He is the Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Hey, Mike, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. So, anything happened in the last day or two that we don't already know about particularly?
No, sir. Not a lot going on.
I will take that. However, you and I were talking a little bit off the phone or off the air, and we know Sheriff Simmons was on Tuesday talking about this swatting incident, and you were telling me that that wasn't the only one. That was the one at the, I don't like to say somebody, it was on Davis Highway. I'm not going to say a name of a business because then it implicates people for things that were not their fault at all. But there was another one as well. Is that right?
Yeah, there was one last week in a residential area on the west side of town, and it was at a home. A person, I won't go into details, but it was the same type situation to where there was something horrible going on. There were mass numbers and things like that, and officers got there very quickly and determined that that too was a false call.
Can you maybe just take a second and talk about how that abuse of the system, that cry wolf, whether for malicious means or just to, because somebody thinks that it's funny, though it's a crime, how that affects your ability to effectively respond to a situation?
Well, it takes people out of their areas, their districts, and puts them in one location, which is not a huge deal. Once we know that it's a false call, then they can go back to doing what they were doing very quickly. What the problem is that officers are going to respond to a situation like that very rapidly, which puts them in danger and it puts the citizens in danger going from point A where they got the call to the location for nothing. So if someone is in a traffic crash, a very serious crash that hurts or kills someone, then once we find the person that's responsible for that swatting call, they're going to get charged with that.
Yeah, no, I wasn't even thinking about it that way in terms of drawing resources away from other needs in the city. And also, as you said, when you have to respond, your siren's on going fast and that can create problems. I was just thinking of more how it affects the response of the officers who now have to ask themselves, well, is this going to be a real threat or is this going to be a fake threat? And what do I have to do when I get there? And how quickly can I determine what's going on?
Yeah, you're right. And, you know, one thing about that is that if the situation is real, more times than not, we're going to get multiple calls.
Okay.
So the officers already, you know, we're going to respond as if it's real. But the officers are already thinking and they're asking dispatch, do you only have one call on this? So, you know, in the back of their minds, they kind of got to figure it out, but they've got to go like it's real until they determine otherwise.
All right. Well, at least there's something. I mean, it's good to know that you have, and police always have ways of knowing things. The high school football game security issue, I think I remember that there was an update on that you were going to be providing increased security at all of the games. Is that right?
Well, we're going to have officers at all the games. As far as numbers, we don't get into numbers, but I can tell you if there's any time there's a credible threat like that, whether there's security guardians or whatnot, if we receive a threat that we believe could be credible, we're going to be there in more numbers than we normally are.
But at this point, we're not rescheduling. And I know this is a school board decision, not a you decision, but we're not responding to any of these threats with a rescheduling of football games to the mornings after at this point anymore, right?
I'm not aware of any, no.
Okay. And I did have a different question just because I remembered in the back of my brain that maybe it was last year. I might have the time frame a little bit off on this, but it was in and among the discussion of not having SROs at the schools, but having guardians instead and not having off-duty police officers at events because they're expensive compared to having security of some other kind that would be a cost savings for the school district. And I don't remember whether they actually went in that direction or not, but is any of that related to like the fights that broke out, or is there any, you know, because we had security officers instead of cops, is any of that related to this story?
No, I don't believe so. Again, that's a decision that the school board makes on who's going to be where,
sure,
as far as on their school, at their schools. But I'm not aware of any connection with that at all.
Okay. Well, I'm good. I mean, I would hate to have it be that they made a choice to go with guards instead of officers and that was part of the problem in terms of why we had an incident. I mean, you hope that doesn't happen, obviously. Meanwhile, in other news, we had Fort Walton Beach. Holy smokes. Or Fort Walton, did you see this Chick-fil-A video, this employee who rushes to defend a woman getting carjacked in the parking lot?
Yeah, I did see that. That was... good work on his part. That's all you can say. You know, a lot of citizens choose not to get involved. A lot of citizens choose to whip the phone out and video the incident rather than helping. And this individual did what he had to do. He stepped in. This young lady was in distress, had a young child, and he did what he did. So, yeah, he's nothing short of a hero.
You know, and you say that, but also there was somebody who was in the car line who did take out the phone. I mean, it was a bit after the action, not exactly, but I don't know. To me, it's just that the rule is, you know, if you can help, help. Get involved. You never know what you might be able to do to, in this case, save a woman with a child, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, that's a decision. Helping is a decision, a personal decision that you have to make, and you got to make it quickly. And this young man did the right thing.
No, it's wonderful. I actually remember when I was doing a ride along with Matt Mercado, who is a big dude. Like, he's a big, strong, capable guy. And I remember we were first starting the ride along. He's like, "All right, if I'm getting beat up, you help me." And I'm like, "Brother, I will do what I can, but you know, but I mean, that's help. Just help, right?"
Yeah, and I've told my ride-alongs the same thing. If you're here and it happens, you know, if I need your help, you can, you know, come on. But I also gave them a separate set of keys to the car in case they needed to get out of there. So I guess it could go either way.
Yeah, no, I mean, and again, as you said, personal decisions and good judgment in the scenario. But at least be willing to help if, you know, at all possible. And kudos to that young man. Something I saw, and I don't know if it applies to you guys, but I'm kind of curious. I was reading a thing that said that reporting use of force in some law enforcement agencies is now required whenever handcuffs are put on a suspect, as opposed to when you actually get into an altercation with them. Is that something that's trending as a practice, and is that something that you have to do also?
No, that's not something that we do at the Pensacola Police Department. I know that that's a department that's up north that's doing that now, and it surprises me that it came from a police department, and maybe it ultimately came from somebody above them to tell them to do that. But placing handcuffs on a person, those are restraints. And that's part of an arrest or a detention sometimes, and the handcuffs are put on people for one reason only, and that is to keep it's for their safety and the safety of the officers. And 95% of the time, the person willingly turns around, they put their hands behind their back, they're placed in handcuffs. They know the deal, they know they've got to go through that, and there's no force used. Now, if somebody starts to resist, whether it's passive resistance or active resistance, then a use of force is generated. But to do a use of force report just because you handcuff somebody is going to make your use of force statistics go through the roof, which is not a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's a massive amount more paperwork, but it's also, as you say, it's going to dramatically change your statistics. Last thing is, we like to always end with some kind of a cop myth, and my one today has to do with speed traps and speeding tickets. There is this long-standing perception that police departments or sheriff's departments or state highway patrol or whatever, that you get a significant source of your revenue from the writing of very lucrative speeding tickets. Is that true?
No, that money doesn't come to Pensacola. It goes to the state. And people use speed traps all the time. We're not trapping anybody. If you're doing the speed limit, we can't trap you. And, you know, we're not going to put a fake 25 mile an hour speed sign and then 11 feet away put a 15 mile an hour speed sign to trap you. None of that works. None of that happens. And to be honest with you, there's enough folks out there speeding, you know, legitimately everywhere that we don't need to do anything like that.
Yeah, I think you can probably just, if you wanted to arrest people 24 hours a day just for speeding, you wouldn't have to set about any special plan to make it happen. You just drive around and catch them. Mike Wood, he is our public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. As always, Mike, thank you for the time, sir. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.